rest. Last week we talked about work. Work is not nearly as fun as rest. I don't know what you all think of when you think of rest. I like to think of hammocks, lazy boys on a Sunday afternoon. I think of Thanksgiving post dinner, full veg out on a couch, just peace. My wife thinks beaches and a chair next to the ocean and just hearing the waves. Some of you may think cabins in the woods and the sounds. Some think tents, and I don't think that's restful. Some of you all may think tent in the woods. I don't know what you ponder, what you think of, what comes to mind for you when you think rest. But most of us, when we hear the word rest, we breathe and we think, I would love to experience that. Because so much of our lives are spent in hustle and bustle. So much of our lives are spent working and doing and being about different things. I watched a movie last night with my wife. It's the same movie that many of our ladies watched on Thursday together. It's called Mom's Night Out. And gentlemen, I want to invite you and to encourage you to sit down with your wife and watch this movie. If you ever hear them say something like, I need some time, I need a break, I need to rest, and you wonder, like, you what do you do all day? Like, watch the movie. You'll understand. You will see firsthand the need for rest. So we watched the movie last night, and I am dying laughing. This lady is just going crazy. She's got three little kids and stressed as all get out. And the one thing she wants was just a day of rest. And then the whole movie is just about she doesn't get any rest on this day that she was supposed to get some rest and rejuvenation. So many of us are looking for something like that. We're longing for a time where we can just get away from everything and rest. That's why many of us look forward to vacation so far in advance. Mine's 8 months out. Just to let you know, I know when it's coming. I know where I'm going. We're prepping already. We're going to Myrtle Beach, and we will spend a week on the beach with just four of us. Now I'm bringing two kids, so it's not the most restful of times. But it's still, I'm already 8 months out anticipating the rest that I know at that moment I'm going to need. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been tired. And I'm not meaning just like a normal end of the night tired. I'm talking full body, soul, spirit, mind, just every single fiber of your being just says, I'm done. If I had to give another ounce, I couldn't. I cannot give anyone else another second, another minute, a single moment. I'm done for the day. I believe that there's people in here this morning that are there this morning. You've had a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and your whole being, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, every single aspect of all that you are is crying out for rest. You're crying out to be rejuvenated and refreshed. And as this Sunday marks the beginning of Pastor Appreciation Month, I want to let you know that 70 to 80% of pastors will experience burnout at some point in their ministry. And as a protection against this, the personnel committee has invited and offered our pastor an 8-week, 2-month sabbatical. Because we believe in what we're going to read here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And so for those who've been asking questions and you really don't understand the whole sabbatical thing, I want to speak to you quickly this morning before we get into things. Number one, yes, Mark is coming back. There has been a couple people wondering. And yes, Mark is coming back. Mark is not candidating at another church. Mark is not waiting on some special revelation. Mark and Brenda are not having marital problems. There's nothing going on prior to this that made us as a committee or us as church leaders say, okay, you have to get away. But understanding the pressures that pastors go through and understanding that rest is hard to come by and unplugging is hard to come by, the personnel committee and other leaders of the church prayerfully considered everything that was going on. We read about sabbaticals, read about other churches that were giving sabbaticals to their pastors who'd been there for 7, 8, 9 years. And we believed that one thing that we could do to bless our senior pastor as he comes up on 10 years of ministry here at North Fairfield Baptist Church as the senior pastor, we really believed that a time of rest would be good for him. And not just for him, but for the life of the church as well. There's been periods in his time here where he needed 2 months away. And at those points, he didn't get it. Today, during these 2 months, he didn't necessarily need it. He was not burnt out like he had been before. There was times where he was severely stressed and severely anxious and nervous and had some breakdowns. And he's talked to us about that publicly. And that hasn't happened, but a way to prevent those things from happening, it is right for us as a church to give him periods away to rest and rejuvenate himself. And it's right for each and every single one of us here today as well to seek rest and to embrace rest. So many of us, we live life in the moment to moment. So many of us, we live life working. We feel like if we're not doing something, that we're doing something wrong. If I'm not busy, if I'm not doing dishes, or if I'm not cleaning, or if I'm not working on this project, or I'm not taking my kids to this place or my kids to another place or soccer or cheerleading or basketball or artistic stuff or theater or choraliers or whatever you're going on. You just feel like if I'm not doing something, I'm making a mistake. And yet over and over and over, God in Scripture comes to us and says, find rest. Now last week we see Scripture telling us to work. And a lot of us respond with chills. I got a text from my dad last Monday. He listens to my sermons every Monday because he loves me, I guess. I wanted to say something bad, self-deprecating, but I didn't. And so he sends me a text. He's just in the beginning of it, and he goes, we're going to work forever, and he puts it in quotes because I mentioned how in heaven we're still going to work. And he goes, I don't like where this is going. And the concept to many of us that we're going to be working forever doesn't sound good. But this week, I can tell you, we're going to be resting forever. And rest is not just available forever. Rest is available now. There is a rest from God that we can embrace here and now. And I pray this morning that each and every one of us here this morning would embrace the rest that's given by God. So let's read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We're going to see the institution of rest, the beginning of rest. For those who don't have Scripture with you, don't have a Bible with you, the words are on the screen. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. And so the heavens and earth and everything in them were completed. By the seventh day, God completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from his work of creation. Let's pray. That we thank you for the rest that you give. And that you give us rest for our good, for your glory. God, I pray today for the people in this room who need rest. God, they're stressed and they're anxious. And they're lacking sleep and they're lacking nearness to you and nearness to others. God, they're burning the candle on both ends. They're living life at the extremes, and you're calling them and you're calling each and every one of us here today to rest. the rest that you institute on the seventh day, that you give to us on this seventh day. God, I pray that each and everyone here would find that rest in you and the grace that you give us through Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So I want us to see two things this morning about this rest and about rest in general. Now, rest is instituted here in Genesis, and it's the first thing that we see is that rest is from God. Rest is a godly thing. To rest from our labor, to stop working, is good and right and godly. Because God starts it. Notice Genesis 2, 1 through 3. So the heavens are completed. So we have this phrase repeated over. Completed is numerous times here. So they were completed, verse 1. Verse 2, they were completed, the end of verse 2. Everything he had done. So God is done working. So we see rest here, this rest that is from God, tied to not working. Rest equals done working. Rest equals not working. God is done working, completes all things. Day 7, he rests. It is done. It is completed. It is finished. God has created all things and he rests from that. And so rest here, this godly rest, the rest from God for him, isn't a rest because he was tired. We must understand, God doesn't sleep. God never gets tired. He never grows weary. God is not man that in ceasing from work, it means he has to because he was tired from labor. Here, we see that God rests simply because he's done working. On day 7, God's done working. On day 1, he's working. Day 2, he's working. Day 3, he's working. Day 4, 5, 6, work, work, work. Creation, 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 creation. And then, rest. Work, rest. There is a pattern here that is established by God. That we work and we rest. God works and he rests. And he institutes this as a weekly thing for us. Notice in verses 1 through 3, there's no mention of humanity here. There's no mention of the Sabbath. There's no mention of keeping the Sabbath holy. There's no mention of what we're to do on a Saturday or Sunday. There's no mention. Actually, nothing of that sort is mentioned until Exodus when Moses is given the Ten Commandments. Why are men not called to rest here in Genesis 2, 1 through 3? Because they're already resting. They're working, but they're not laboring. They're not fighting sin. They're not striving for better relationships. There is no sin at this point. And so there's no need to call humans to rest. We see here that rest is instituted, but it's not prescribed until the next book. We have the institution of rest as a normal pattern of creation and life, but we don't have the prescription that comes in the Ten Commandments that says, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, on this day you shall worship. But in the very beginning, we see the pattern that there's 6 days, and the seventh day is holy. The seventh day is set apart. The seventh day is unique. The seventh day is the one given by God to remember the rest that he gave us and the rest that we can have together. And the question for us is why? Why this once a week reminder? Why does he give the Sabbath? Why does he set the Sabbath apart as holy? Why does he set the seventh day, the day he rested, as important? What is important about this godly rest that we are to long for and embrace? The first thing is that it is a weekly reminder. The seventh day, every week, as a reminder that we are utterly dependent on him. You and I cannot exist without rest. 1/3 of your life is spent in a coma. Understand that fact. a third of your life is spent where you have no clue of anything that is happening to you or going on anywhere around you. A third of your life subsists in you not doing anything for yourself, laying there, doing nothing. That is one third of your life. And if you don't do that, if you don't sleep, if you don't get the rest you need, our bodies will not work. Lack of sleep leads to depression, heart disease, high blood pressure, strokes, weight gain, and diabetes. All from a lack of sleep. If you're not sleeping, your body is rejecting that normal pattern that your body is set up to have. If our bodies function dependently on sleep and rest, and not just sleep, but a restfulness to our spirits. Not just sleep causes these things, but stress and anxiety bring these same medical issues to bear in our lives as well. In stressful situations, we're not resting, we're not at peace, we're not at comfort. In the midst of that, our bodies tense up, our heart rate increases, our blood pressure increases, and we have constant medical problems because of it. We rest every week and every night as a way to show that you and I and every single other human being on the face of the earth, we are utterly dependent upon God. God never sleeps, He never slumbers, and you and I will spend a third of our existence in a coma. And God never sleeps. He never slumbers. The second thing that this reminds us of every week is that God is infinitely worthy. The seventh day is a reflection on the other six. He works 6 days, creates all things. So God is infinitely worthy because He creates all things. And on the seventh day is when we worship and honor Him for the previous 6 days. That it's His day. Rest is from Him because rest makes us view our dependence on Him, and rest makes us view the fact that He is worthy. When we rest, He's not resting. When we sleep, He's not sleeping. There's something utterly unique about God that is completely separate than what you and I experience on a day-to-day basis. He never sleeps, never slumbers, never grows tired. And yet He commands that we rest. Now, our bodies are dependent upon rest. But rest isn't just from God. And I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 11 to see the rest of what is going on. Now, rest is instituted and from God here in Genesis 1. But it's in Matthew 11 and in Hebrews chapter 4 as well that we see really the fullness of the story. We said at the very beginning of this series that we cannot just read Genesis 1 through 3 and forget about the rest of all Scripture. We can't forget that there's a fall that happens at the end. We can't forget that there's a Christ and redemption that occurs. And so Christ, while He's on earth, says this, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The rest that was there before the fall, the rest that was there in Genesis 2, 1 through 3, when God didn't have to command a rest for His people. God rested, but He doesn't mandate anything for humanity. That rest that was there, Jesus says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden." That's you. And that's Me. And it's all humanity. We all labor. We are all heavy laden. And Jesus has an offer for us. And He says, "Come to Me." And He's saying that this rest that is from God is worth pursuing. He's saying, "Come." He's saying that there's a treat at the end of this. There is a reward to be had. If it's not worth pursuing, why would He tell us to pursue it? If it's not worth fighting for, why does He say to fight for it? Hebrews says it much more much better. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. "Let us then make every effort, let us work to do what? To enter that rest." pursue doggedly rest. It's an oxymoron. Pursue rest. Pursue rest. Come to rest. Work to rest. This rest that is from God is worth pursuing. And Jesus speaks to all humanity and he says, come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, heavy laden, anxious, laden with cares, stressed, nervous, physically, emotionally, spiritually spent. And Jesus speaks to every single one of you and says, come to me, pursue me, and I will give you rest. I don't know how you all have interacted with your children, but I like to bribe mine. It works. And so I will tell them, if you do this, I will give you this. And my goal in bribing them is to bribe them with something they would want, something worth longing for. Don't bribe them with something that is worthless and pointless. I bribe them with something that is worthwhile to them, something that they would want. And Jesus does the same thing to us. He says, I understand that you want rest. I understand that you're longing for a peace that passes all understanding. I understand you're longing for comfort. I understand you're longing for something in life. And I will give that to you if you come to me. It's a present rest that you and I here today on earth can be free from the stress and the anxiety of work. You and I can be free from anxiety. You and I can be free from worry. You and I can be free from this need, constant need to perform. This rest that he gives is a present rest that no other religion can offer. No other way of life can offer you rest. Jesus stands before you and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father except through me, and no one finds rest in any other way but through Christ. There is no rest for the Muslim. Right now, at Mecca, there are over 3 million Muslims performing their Hajj. A Hajj is their spiritual pilgrimage. It's one of the five pillars of Islam. And at their once-a-life trek, their once-of-life pilgrimage to Mecca, they must walk around their special holy place. They believe that's actually where Abraham first built a temple to the Lord. And so they will walk around it 7 times. And they must wear particular garb and say particular prayers and do particular rituals as they're walking around this shrine 7 times. Not only must they walk around this massive circle with all of these people there, and they have to travel from wherever they are at some point in life and spend as much money as they have to do this, they must also walk between 2 mountains 7 times. And I don't know about you, but this doesn't seem restful to me. Muhammad, Allah, does not say to the Muslim people, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Muhammad and Allah will say to them, come to me and work, and you will never know peace. Because no Muslim you ever talk to will ever say to you, I know for a fact I'm going to heaven. Because they don't. The Muslim religion is built on weights and scales. And they must work to balance out their evil deeds. And they can never find rest because they're never at peace and they never know for a fact that heaven is theirs. No Buddhist can rest because a Buddhist never knows when they're going to reach nirvana. They must beat themselves and maim themselves and refrain from any indication of suffering to find what they believe is peace. They must work constantly. A Hindu in February will walk thousands and thousands of feet, and they will place weights on their backs, and they will pierce themselves numerous times, all to find any kind of favor they can with one of billions of gods. And the Hindus will say, we must work to find the favor of our gods. No one who has no belief in God whatsoever can find rest because this life is all they have. And so they have to enjoy every second. They have to make the most of every second. They have to make as much money as they can. They have to work constantly. Why? Because this fleeting vapor of a life is all they have. And so how can you rest in the midst of it? In the midst of all of that, we have Christ who comes into the midst of it and says, I have a rest that's worth pursuing, this present rest that will free you from the need to please everyone. It'll free you from the need to pursue popularity. It'll free you from the need to pursue material wealth. It'll free you from all of those things, the stresses and anxieties of life. And Jesus stands before us and he says, I'm giving this to you. Rest is available. Come to me. There's a present rest to be had. You who are weary and heavy laden, you who are burdened with the cares of this world, you can find rest today. Teenagers, the burden of popularity is intense. The moment-to-moment burden to be known and to be somebody, to feel like you have worth. I remember that. I remember in high school, walking the beginning of sophomore year, and I remember all I ever did was stare at the ground. Because the pressure of life and the pressure to have people like me and love me and to be popular, all of those pressures weighed on me. I was looking for rest, and I remember just walking around and staring at the ground because I was a nobody. And my whole reason for being was weighing down on me. And I remember looking back at the end of my sophomore year. I don't remember when the change happened. I got saved about 3/4 of the way through sophomore year. And I remember walking around with my head up and feeling a massive weight off of my shoulders. I didn't care anymore about what people thought of me. I didn't care anymore about popularity. I didn't care anymore about whether or not the captain of the football team or the captain of the cheerleaders, what they thought of me. I was free from burdens. I came to Christ and he gave me rest. Moms who are here today, and you're burdened moment by moment, you're wondering, am I doing things right? These parents, they're taking their kids to all of these different things. Am I not providing my kids what I should be? Am I not doing things right? My house isn't clean. My laundry has been done in a week. It's not folded. It's just laying on a bed in the other room. Like, what am I doing here? I'm not a good mom. And Jesus comes to you. He says, come to me. You moms who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, will free you from those burdens. He's looking at dads who are stressed and wondering, am I making enough money? Am I providing enough for my family? Am I spending enough time with my family? Am I doing the right things? What's going to happen if I don't do these things right? What's going to happen if I don't get in the office tomorrow really early? What happens if I don't stay late tomorrow? And you get tied up with all this anxiousness and all these worries. And Christ comes to you. And he speaks to you and speaks to me. And he says, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a rest to be had in Christ that no one else can have. And that the beauty of it is that it's not just present. While we will have some semblance of rest here on earth, we will never have perfect, eternal rest until heaven. Hebrews continues on in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, and we're going to turn there together. Hebrews 4. Verses 8 and 9. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains in the future for God's people. There is a perfect Sabbath rest that remains. You and I may rest now. We may be free from the burdens of care in this world, but we would never perfectly rest because every moment of every day, we are fighting. If you are in Christ, every moment of every day is a fight. Paul talks about how he holds every single thought captive. We are battling temptation and sin every moment of every day of our life. And if you're not battling, you're losing. If you're not fighting sin, sin is killing you. Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. So if you're not fighting, you're losing. And Jesus comes to us and says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now this rest is present, but it's not perfected until Christ comes. It's not perfected until we see him in glory. It's not perfected until this human flesh, this sinful flesh, is cast off and we put on immortality. There is coming a day. What a day that will be, when you and I will see him face to face in the depravity of ourselves, the depravity of sin, the temptations of sinfulness and self will be wiped away, and then we will truly be able to rest. I pray that you long for that day. And I also pray that you understand the need to long for that. Because if sin, if life for you as a believer isn't a fight, then you have no understanding of the need for that eternal rest. If you are okay with the constant barrage of sinfulness and temptation that's overwhelming you constantly, and you're not fighting that sin, then you don't understand the hope of eternal rest that we have. A rest free of sin. A rest free from physical contamination. A rest free from fear of sin or death or disease. There's an eternal rest that is offered. And we get to glimpse it. We get to see pieces of it here on earth. I want to invite everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. I believe with everything that is in me that there are people here this morning who need this rest. There are teenagers here, college students here who are burdened with the desire to fit in and the desire to be wanted and needed and liked. Jesus is speaking to you now and he's saying, "Come to me, you teenager who are weary and heavy laden. You are burdened with sin and the cares of this life." And he's speaking to you and he's saying, "Come to me. I will give you rest." You're a parent in this room. And you are anxious and you worry and you are stressed. And Christ is staring at you and saying, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest." You're here and you do not know Christ. And you're pursuing the things of this world and you're anxious and stressed, and you're trying to work for your own righteousness. You're trying to work to achieve heaven, and there's no peace. And Jesus looks at you, and he speaks to you, and he says to you, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And my heart's greatest desire and the desire of God is that you would not leave here this morning without finding that rest. I'm going to invite my counselors to go ahead and come at this moment. I want everyone still, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want us to understand the weight of this moment. Jesus is standing before you, just as sure as I'm standing before you now, and his arms are open wide, and he's saying to you, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And some of you are crying out from the bottom of your heart and say, "I need that rest. I need the rest that only Jesus can give. I need the freedom from sin and the freedom from this bondage. I need the peace that comes with Christ, the forgiveness that comes from him. I need that." I want to invite you at this moment, right now, while no one else is looking, there are counselors that are here to talk to you. I want to invite you now to stand and to come forward. I want to invite you at this moment, if you are here and you do not know Christ and you know that you need the rest that only He can provide, I'm begging you to come and to speak to one of these counselors at the front. They would share with you the way to find rest. You're here. You're tired. You're weighed down by the cares of this life. And you need rest. You may know Christ, and you're just here, and you say, I need to give my cares to Him. I need to give my worries to Him, my anxiety to Him. I need to give over my desire to work. I would invite you to come to speak to a counselor. We're going to pray, and then we're going to stand and sing. And as soon as we stand, I would pray that you would come this morning, speak to a counselor. Let them show you the way to find peace, show you the way to find rest. And I beg that you would not leave this place without giving Him your burdens. He says to us, His yoke, His teachings, His way, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Lay down your cares. Lay down the weights. Lay down the burden and find the rest that comes through Christ. Let's pray. We thank you for the rest that you bring. God, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know you, that need to find this rest that only Christ can give. God, I would beg that they would come to know you. They would not fight the Spirit that is leading. They would not fight you who are drawing them. God, that you would draw them to yourself. Your Spirit would move in this place in a mighty way. They would see people that are far from you come to know you. God, I pray for the believers in this room. God, so many times we live our lives and stress and anxiety, we live as if we have not found the one who brings rest. God, I pray that today and every day that we would be a people that would find our rest in you. It's your name we pray.